Welcome to the big interview on today's show. I am joined right now by Bruce Monrad. He is chairman and portfolio manager at Northeast Investors Trust. NTHEX, the ticker symbol, northeastinvestors.com to learn more about the firm, the fund, Bruce, and to check in on their insights and more. Bruce Monrad, it's great to have you back on Money Life.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So these are particularly interesting times for somebody who does what you do, because it has been a long time since we looked out the scale on bonds and we looked towards high yield and junk and things along those lines and said, man, I can't even get enough of a premium to really keep pace with inflation. But right now, we're in that sticky time. So does it even make sense? Like the asset class that you focus on, how is this environment changing what you look at?
Well, we've got to, you know, we certainly are paying attention across the fixed income spectrum. And, you know, you're touching on some good points there, Chuck. If we have inflation running higher than most bond yields, not true in high yield, but, you know, obviously, again, in high yield, you get higher coupons, higher interest rates for higher risk. But it's a complicated time out there in the fixed income markets with inflation running higher than it was a couple of years ago and with yields being relatively low.
How does that change your strategy and where you're looking? Or is it we have to just ride this out in a time like this where we believe, at least some of us believe, that inflation here is likely to be transitory, but transitory could be a while, another year or more. How do you play that out?
Yeah, we like the sectors we're investing in, and that's predominantly the shorter end of the high yield market. So we get, you know, we get the extra risk premium, but we would say that we don't think we're taking the extra risk in terms of interest rate risk that, you know, certainly that, you know, government bond investors or maybe investment grade bond investors are underwriting that risk that they're taking with regard to, you know, the risk that interest rates could go up. And, you know, interest rates have been going up in the last couple weeks here and that's those who are exposed on the long end of the maturity curve, you know, they've seen some pressure there.
So what is your general outlook? I mean, obviously, given what you do, whether it's inflation or it's interest rates or it's Fed tapering or Fed signaling, if you will, where are you looking and what do you think happens next?
Yeah, you know, as high yield investors, we have to think about sort of everything. We think about macro, we think about micro. And our two cents would be that, you know, we're, you know, maybe not in the eighth inning of the COVID situation, but, you know, obviously, you know, with the whole vaccination and we're doing better with regard to facing the coronavirus, and that's good for the economy. So, you know, we're relatively optimistic on the state of the economy. We think, yes, there's been some inflation. We think it'll come down, but we still think it will be more persistent, perhaps, than it is generally thought of. Again, on the credit front, you know, we think the economy is moving forward. We think employment will go up, unemployment will come down, and so, you know, we think we're relatively sanguine on the state of the economy, and that, you know, that view doesn't necessarily turn on whether the government passed some of the fiscal stimulus programs that are being talked about now. You know, we think independently that things are you know, we're moving in the right direction, and you know, in a little bit, I'll say kudos to our policymakers. You know, looking way back to how they handled it during COVID, you know, there were some real bad outcomes, and I'm referring now to the financial, you know, the
right.
Fed. And I think they did a good job. So we've come out of this recession, you know, more quickly than, you know, anyone would have thought. So that's sort of how we look at the world.
When you're looking at the world right now, you see a place where rates are rising or likely to rise along with inflation. So, you know, when it comes to fixed income, if there is a time when I can tell anybody who's a passive investor, hey, are you sure you want to be a passive investor? It's in the bond cycle when rates start rising. So how do you get active and how do you do things and change? And are there other types of credits that are more attractive to you now? You know, you talked about some of the things you do in high yield, but are you looking at other types of securities that can fill the void, whether it's preferreds or something else that can maybe step in here?
Yeah, I mean, we we focus on lots of things. In general, we are, you know, concentrated on the high yield market. And you know, I've just bought, you know, before we went on the air, I just bought a 2-year bond yielding about 4.5%. And you know, 2 years is not long on the maturity spectrum. You know, things would have to go very wrong for us to lose money on that. And you know, that's an example of the type of thing we're doing. So yeah, we're paying attention to all the data points that you mentioned, that inflation is high, and you know, and of course, you know, the Fed you know, is likely to start withdrawing its stimulus, and rates will begin to move up. Some of that's priced in. We're trying to minimize our risk on that front. And underpinning all that, I think that, you know, the Fed is keenly focused on making sure that they don't disrupt markets too much. So, you know, that's just one other thing to sort of keep in mind as we invest. But again, our general thought is we like the short end of the high yield market. You know, that's where we're investing.
I would imagine that there is a lot of pressure and a lot of demand at the short end of the high yield market. Why? Because for those who don't spend much time paying attention to junk bonds, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Bruce, but like typical maturities are more like 7 years. So you tend to be looking more like 7 years out. And the idea that you're looking 7 years out right about now, wow, it's just, if you have a crystal ball that has that kind of life expectancy on it and can view out that far, I'm impressed. But has that changed the demand picture and the pricing picture on the kinds of bonds you're looking for?
Well, you're touching on a big point, which is that you know, within the last year or so, a lot of the high yield market has been refinanced, and so 2 to 3 year bonds have been you know, replaced by the companies. The companies have retired the old bonds and issued new ones, and so there are a whole lot of, you know, new shiny 10-year bonds out there. And you know, we have not been really dipping our toe in the water there much, but it is something. And you know, we just think, you know, we got to pay attention, and you really should express an affirmative view on interest rates, you know, before you do make that investment. You know, I will say again, at any point, any place in the high yield market, you are getting a risk premium, a premium for over treasury yields. And so, you know, under the circumstances under which interest rates rise, the probably under those circumstances also your high yield bond is probably, you know, the company is probably having some pretty good earnings. So those two would go hand in hand, rising rates and, you know, and good corporate profits. So there's a little bit of a hedge on that, but you have to pay attention.
Something that we've been paying attention to that doesn't necessarily directly affect the kinds of bonds that you focus on is the debt ceiling issue. And yep, we've been talking about it on the show and how even if we don't get to where things get messed up and we wind up seeing the United States start to default or anything else, that there could be impacts. Now, of course, when we have problems with the debt ceiling, it's treasuries. It's not the stuff that you buy. But if the treasury market gets the sniffles, the rest of the bond market is at least gonna feel some cold here. So for you, as you're watching this issue, what's the big concern? I mean, how broad can this story get, and will there be fallout even if there's not a default or the rest as we get this sorted out?
Yeah, I think our view would be that, you know, if it's the standard, and I should say, you know, that's a term of art, you know, back and forth and gamesmanship, you know, that probably is okay. And even if there's a little bit of a lag here in terms of getting it done past the deadlines that they've set, that's probably okay. And then even further, I'll say, you know, in a worst case, you know, the Treasury could prioritize the payment of interest payments. As you say, these Treasury bonds underpin the entire financial system, so it's a very big deal. So that, you know, we see those as sort of lines of defense, but no question. And I think everybody would know that if you're going to miss payments on U.S. sovereign debt, that we're playing with fire. And you know, I assume that would not be the case. If I recall right, back about, it wasn't a decade ago, but it was more than a decade ago, there was some tea leaves that you could, the Treasury, you know, had coded its computers to be ready to prioritize debt payments over other payments, you know, rightly or wrongly. And that was a way of sort of sniffing out that they weren't going to really default on the U.S. debt. So, you know, there is a worst case outcome there. Hopefully we don't get there.
Yeah, we would certainly not want to go that far if we can avoid it. When you consider debt and you're looking to change yields, is there any market, and I recognize it's not necessarily what you do all the time, but do you ever look and go, hey, I want to be taking on the debt of other nations, and especially in an environment where look what's happening with the debt ceiling and how crazy things are here right now?
Well, we haven't done a lot of that, but it's an interesting question, because other central banks, mostly in emerging markets right now, they don't have the luxury that the Federal Reserve has, and they have begun to raise interest rates. Brazil, I think they raised interest rates 100 basis points within the last month or so. Norway, which is actually a developed country, I think they raised their interest rates. We have the Fed and the ECB and the Bank of Japan, the big central banks, not doing so. So, you know, interest rate, we would certainly pay attention to it if and when fixed income markets reprice elsewhere. But we haven't done that as of this moment. But it is worth noting that other central banks are in the process of raising interest rates well ahead of the big three I just mentioned.
And let's also consider what happens next. Because again, as we're talking about this with a rising rate environment or the potential for a rising rate environment, but still rates being low, as corporations are looking at, you know, how are they going to access capital in these markets and try to take advantage of the recovery, et cetera. Do you expect that going forward, it's going to be, we're going to get back to better times for higher yielding debt? Or is this going to be a long, slow kind of sideways ugliness that we just got to push through?
Yeah, I think, you know, interest rates, may sort of begin to normalize. Nothing abrupt, because the Fed definitely doesn't want that, and it's not part. And it would be, you know, very much part of their decision rules that if it was disruptive, they would try to step in and slow it down. I mean, they would focus on the impact of disorderly markets on the economy. So, you know, it's both a cause and an effect. So I think. You know, the goal here of the Fed is to slowly wean itself off of the extraordinary measures that they took a year ago. And, you know, they know it won't necessarily be always smooth sailing, but that's what they're certainly hoping for.
Well, Bruce, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining me on Money Life to talk about it. We'll talk to you again down the line.
Great. Thanks for having me, Chuck. Appreciate it.
That's Bruce Monrad. He is chairman and portfolio manager at Northeast Investors Trust. Ticker symbol NTHEX for the fund, northeastinvestors.com for more information on the fund, the firm, and Bruce. We'll be back to wrap up today's show, let you know about some guests coming tomorrow and beyond, and also some stuff you might want to jump in on this show. Yeah, we'll do that before we cross the finish line next.